Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've just said in our previous segment that one of the problems we're finding is the fulfillment of Scripture, where the Bible says, perilous times shall come. That word perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, deadly, devastating times. And in that text, it says shall come, not maybe or possibly, but shall. It's positive. And ladies and gentlemen, let me reiterate the fact that we're living in those last days that the Bible speaks of in that text, where lovers of self, the world that we're living in, if I can give you a brief overview of that text that I just read a moment ago, selfish, greedy, haughty, arrogant, cursing God, disobedient, unthankful, wicked, evil, homosexual, slanderous, no self-control, renegades against God and against man, headstrong, reckless, puffed up, and arrogant, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That literally means the world and not the Word is the focus of their lives. And that's what we're watching. This is the end result of what we're seeing in society today, ladies and gentlemen. So it ought not to shock us. It ought not to surprise us, but we need to continue to be salt and light. The question must be asked and begs to be asked and answered. How should we then live? What should we do? How should we respond to it? And may I simply say we need to keep on keeping on loving the Lord and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So just what are the basic conditions that cause these mass shootings? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we as a nation, listen carefully, I believe that we as a nation, law enforcement, political pundits, and all of the facts that are before us, I believe we need to understand that all of the studies reveal that the human cause of these tragedies are very, very real. And I want us to just go through some of these human causes as I speak of them. You remember, if you give a title to this broadcast today, no guidance, no God, but guns. And that's what we're faced with. We have a society today where there is no God, there's no guidance in the home or beyond, and we have guns available, and I believe in the Second Amendment without any equivocation. In God's Word, we find that God's Word originated, the doctrine of self-defense, the castle doctrine originated in the Word of God. It was codified in our Constitution. It's been confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court over and over and over, and it's to be carried out by we, the citizens of the United States of America. So I'm an advocate of the Second Amendment rights. I'm an advocate of our First Amendment, the right to freedom of speech and religious liberties. But we're talking about what seems to be an unusual phenomenon, and it's not unusual other than the day in which we're living and the ingredients that go into making up this condition. Number one, we're killing our kids, destroying their futures, destroying their thinking, destroying their social skills. We're doing so, ladies and gentlemen, by legalizing drugs. Yes, marijuana. Marijuana is legal in 33 states. And may I remind us, the research proves that in every domestic mass shooting in America, listen, in every domestic mass shooting in America, the individual was on or using some kind of drugs. And remember, in Revelation chapter 18, verse 23, it warns us that in the last days, the last days of this society, we a pharmakeia society. That word pharmakeia is the Greek word for drugs. It will be a drug-crazed, drug-induced, drug-dazed society, and that's what we're finding today. In fact, here's an article that time will not allow me to give you the totality of it. It's a massive article, but it is very, 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 very real. It says every mass shooting shares one thing in common, and it's not, capital N-O-T in the headlines, not weapons. And the article goes on to say, nearly every mass shooting in the past 20 years shares one thing in common, and it's not weapons. Nearly every mass shooting incident in the last 20 years and multiple other instances of suicide and isolated shootings all share one thing in common, and that one thing is not a gun. The overwhelming evidence points to the single largest common factor in all of these incidents, and that is the fact that all the perpetrators were either actively taking powerful psychotropic drugs or had been on some at some point in the immediate past before they committed these crimes. Multiple credible scientific studies go back more than a decade as well as internal documents from certain pharmaceutical companies that suppress the information, and it shows that drugs have well-known and have been underreported as to the side effects that cause suicide and violent behavior. And may I add to that, ladies and gentlemen, marijuana linked with some of those drugs are absolutely horrific and will destroy the individual. Let me just go down to the list. I'm looking at a list here, and I'm not going to try to read this on our broadcast today. Each and every one of them, it outlines the list. There's 39 mass shootings that's listed in this study, and it gives the name, the event, the date, the age of the person, the date it took place, where it took place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For example, it talks about Eric Harris, age 17, and that was, he was part of the shooting in Littleton, Colorado, killed 12 students, et cetera. He was on Zoloft. Zoloft is a psychotropic drug that alters the mind, causes them to see things, become paranoid and schizophrenic, and as a result of that, they see things that are not there, they hear things that are not there, and as a result of that, they will shoot people. And I'm not going to go down the list, but simplistically put, each and every one of these, they're on Zoloft, Prozac, Ritalin is probably in the list more than anything else, Paxil, Celex, Ritalin, Zoloft, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I could go down this list, all 39 of the cases it lists here, and each and every one of them, and the ones that were the shooters range anywhere from 15 years old to the age of 22 years of age in each of these articles, and there's 39 of them of the shootings. All of them go back to, listen, all of them go back to drugs. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We're talking about the horrific dangers of opioids that's talked about in America. 73,000 were killed, died from overdose as a result of opioids in 2018, as we're told by the researchers. We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on a federal, national, and state level to try to cure the opioid crisis. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very, very carefully and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. The proper research, the research and the studies, and all of the research and studies that's done by researchers that are honorable and honest and not the pot industry itself. The pot industry researchers will say that marijuana has no effect, but the authentic researchers will point to and prove the fact that marijuana is the gateway to every other drug, heroin, and all of the other drugs, cocaine, every drug, fentanyl, all of them are the open passageway, the pathway, the access starts out with marijuana. If you don't believe that, do the research for yourself on what's happening in Colorado. Look at what's happening in Oregon. Look at what's happening in the state of Washington. Look at what is taking place in the state of California and the other states that have had the marijuana for several, several years, and find out what is taking place. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, in November of 2016, 71% of the Floridians voted yes on an amendment that made it legal for medical marijuana, so-called. John Morgan and his law firm and multitudes of others wound up investing, spending, whatever you want to call it, $6 million plus dollars in order to get that done. And 71% of Floridians voted for that. That means multitudes of church-going, so-called Christians had to have voted for that deadly, damnable drug that's destroying the minds, the hearts, and the people, getting them hooked on other drugs, causing these mass killings. It is one of the major, major principal causes. And most Floridians are not aware of the fact that as we speak, as I am speaking to you at this moment, there's a petition that's being circulated, getting signatures. They already have 77,000 signatures to put recreational marijuana on the ballot as an amendment for 2020. November of 2020, Floridians will have an opportunity to vote on whether or not to say yes to pot in the state of Florida on a recreational basis. And I pray to God that I'm wrong. But if it follows the same footsteps of what was done in 2016 with the so-called medical marijuana, which was a farce to get the marijuana into our cities and counties, we've got pot shops on every street corner here in Jacksonville today. And the overwhelming majority of them are supposed to be for medical marijuana, of course, but I would be willing to tell you that you don't have to be dying or have any medical ailment to be able to buy the pot. And all this will do is open Pandora's box to destroy the state of Florida. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, study after study after study shows that it's a fact that this is one of the major problems that's causing these kids to go out, these young men, to go out and do the shooting, is because their brain is mush because of taking the drugs. But ladies and gentlemen, we're doing that, and yet in every city, every state, every county where marijuana has been legalized, it is ignoring the fact that on a federal level, the federal law says that marijuana is still illegal. And right here in Jacksonville, the brilliance of City Councilman Dennis Garrett is now wanting to decriminalize pot. Use the term decriminalize. What does it say? It means to make it legal to carry, have, own, and use pot. What do you think is going to happen with crime in Jacksonville? It's already bad enough. What's going to happen if we decriminalize pot in the city of Jacksonville? It will cause these crazed lunatics to go bonkers, and we'll find more and more rapes, robberies, forcible burglaries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and could end up in some things, God forbid, mass shootings as a result of it. We need to understand that one of the major problems we're faced with today that's killing our kids, destroying our future, destroying our families, and now ending up in mass murder is a result of legalizing and allowing marijuana to be so freely available and used. The second major problem, and it is second, it could be side by side for number one. I'm calling it second just in my numerical numbering of this to cover the broadcast today. But the second is fatherless homes. Fatherless homes. You heard me a moment ago give you the statistical data from one of the callers that texted in and said that 27 of the deadliest mass shooters, 26 of them were from fatherless homes. And ladies and gentlemen, I would be willing to venture a guess based on what I've researched and read. Overwhelming majority of all of these mass shootings, mass shooting is anything four or five or more, it's called a mass shooting. All of those, I would say, if you go back and check the record, these individuals, the perpetrators doing this, come out of broken homes, homes where marriages have failed, homes where there's been infidelity, homes where the father is not in the home, homes where the father has abrogated his responsibility and is out in the world and not supporting his family or taking care of it. What it does, ladies and gentlemen, with a broken home, with a fatherless home, with there being no figure in the home to discipline and control the behavior of that child goes absolutely bonkers and foolish and does foolish things. In fact, in Proverbs 22, verse 15, says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." You ask the question, do you believe in punishing a child for doing something wrong? Absolutely, unequivocally, the Bible says so. And there is a need for the parent to be able to take control and spank that child, not Spock him. Spock was Dr. Spock of the 50s and 60s that advocated that parents not spank the child, but cuddle the child, love the child, hold the child, tell the child how much you love him, and never, never discipline the child. Well, Dr. Spock admitted before his death that he was wrong. I've said for many years, we need to spank a child, not Spock him. We need to recognize that God's ordained purpose of a parent in the home is to discipline that child. But ladies and gentlemen, in the home where there's no discipline, where there's no father figure, there's no training. And the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a Hebrew transliteration. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he shall have become old, he shall not have departed from it. You know what it says? It is the responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, of the fathers and the mothers in the home, and primarily the father, to train that child. Train that child in the way that he should go, not the way that his rebellious heart wants to go, so that when he will have become older, he will not depart from the training that he's been given. But there's a lack of parental control today. There's a lack of parental discipline today. They let little Johnny do as he pleases, and eventually little Johnny falls in the hands of law and has to face law and justice, and that's what we're seeing today. These two guys that just committed the horrific crimes in Ohio and in El Paso, Texas, both came out of broken homes. Both came out of fatherless homes. Both come out of a background of drugs and no restraints in their lives. What else can we expect, ladies and gentlemen? What else can you expect from a society where there's been no discipline, no direction, where there's been no father in the home to have that control that God has ordained? God ordained the home, the family, with the father, the head of the home, making the decisions about what the family is going to do. But ladies and gentlemen, in all the shootings, we find that there is no spiritual emphasis. That's number three, no spiritual emphasis. These homes have no focus on God, no focus on church, no focus on spiritual things, no focus on Bible or Bible reading. Ladies and gentlemen, we have, the Bible has been banned. Listen very carefully. These same renegade nitwits in Washington that want to be president, they're part of the problem. They're not the solution to the problem. They are the problem. It's the mindset that they have that's banned the Bible in the classroom. It's the mindset that they have that prayer is banned in the classroom. Even pledging to the flag has become a misnomer today in the classroom. Sodomite lifestyle, sodomite living is absolutely advocated today in the classroom under the guise of sex education, where murder, sex education, where in that sex education they're promulgating and pushing abortion, murder by way of abortion. They're pushing in that sex education that anything goes, whatever you want to do. In fact, some of the latest is, ladies and gentlemen, that they're now pushing some type multiple couple experience that's supposed to be good for the psyche and supposed to be healthy. That, ladies and gentlemen, is being pushed in your child's public school and my kids' grandkids' public schools, and it's across the nation in all of the governmentally controlled schools. It's raw pornography being taught under the guise of sex education, and we wonder why these kids think nothing about murder. They think nothing about abortion. They think nothing about a lackadaisical lifestyle of living because there's no fundamental foundational belief in the Word of God. Prayer's been removed. Bible has been removed. Murder by way of abortion is taught. Thus, the kids in the school grow up having no value of life. Hear me. These kids that are doing the shootings, they were kids. They're young adults now. In fact, one of them, the one out of Ohio, had written a kind of a list of those that he wanted to rape in his school. He had written a list of those he wanted to kill. And this was while still in high school. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about having psychologists come in. We're talking about having the government make a decision on who's nuts and who's not and taking away the guns based on that. And I find it antithetical to anything that's called constitutional liberalities or liberties when we are talking about coming in and encroaching the Second Amendment right. It's not the gun that's the problem. It's no guidance and no God that's the problem in our homes today. The Bible has been banned. Prayer has been banned. Sodomite living is taught in the classroom. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the kids grow up with no value of life. In fact, in our classrooms, Allah is taught, and the jihadist lifestyle is taught more than the Judeo-Christian values are taught in the classroom. We are divorcing ourselves from God in the public arena. And yet when these tragedies take place, multitudes of these hair-on-fire socialists in Washington, AOC and her jihadist group and others, start screaming out something about pray to God and ask God and seek God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When tragedy comes, we seek God. But we've basically banned God. You remember me telling it so many times about Congressman Coons in Tennessee. When something was said about the swearing-in oath in his committee of swearing them in, so help me God. He said, we're not doing that. And he went on with his diatribe that it's okay to have God in a cathedral. It's all right to have God in a synagogue. It's all right to have God in a church or in a religious setting. But he says, Congress has no place for God. You hear what I'm saying? They've literally banned God from the halls of Congress. And yet somehow, some way, we expect these youngsters to go out and have some spiritual compass that will cause them to do something other than obeying God. I would venture to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that you could go back and research, and the overwhelming majority, if not all, of these mass murderers come out of homes where the Bible is not read, God is not prevalent, church is not emphasized. There is the pleasure, the pleasure seeking, the getting of money, the gaining, and the gathering, and no focus on God. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, one of the latest facts is that now not only do we find churches plummeting in numbers, and we'll talk about that in a moment, plummeting in numbers of those that are attending. Churches are closing across the nation, and it's not highly publicized. But another thing that impacts the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is the fact that now we have an app Yes, an app. You can put it on your iPhone. You can put it on your iPad. You can put it on your PC. But in that app, you can worship without ever having to go to church, the article, the app says. It is promoting those that are, quote, too busy to go to church can have church, as one said it, church and God right in my pocket. Did you hear me? We've become so busy in societal life in America today, no longer do we gather together. In fact, the scripture is very clear in Hebrews that it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the heathens do. We need to recognize the need to come together and worship God. But in most of these shooters' backgrounds, God is not prevalent. God is not present. Guidance is not there by a father in the home. The Bible is not read. So if we are teaching Johnny to hate God and to reject the Bible and to devalue life, should we expect little Johnny to do anything other than go out killing people? It's a profound question. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the twofold things that I've talked about thus far, where we're talking about the fact that they are fatherless homes and that we're killing our kids with drugs. But also, ladies and gentlemen, we're destroying them because God is not the centrality of the home. If there's no spirituality, if we're not taught the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, I can say this. I'm thankful that in our home, we had Bible reading for our kids. We had prayer each day with them. They grew to know Christ as Savior early in their lives. They're serving the Lord Jesus Christ today. Their wives and their kids love the Lord. That's a heritage that only God can give. That's a legacy that we need to leave for our kids, and not the shooter mentality today that we're seeing, where you can have a drugged society, where you can have a no God, no Bible, a pledge to the flag society, and expect these kids to grow up and do anything less. The fourth thing, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe is a causative factor, we're talking about the four things that I believe causes these shooters to do what they're doing. And that fourth thing is, ladies and gentlemen, that fourth thing is this generation, and we're talking about the millennial generation, 18 to 35-year-old age group, and all of these shooters fall into that category. A few of them were 15, 16, 17. That is the generation that's grown up on television, computers, handheld devices, video games, watching 6 to 8 hours a day of the wild, wicked, evil depictions of murders and shootings. But ladies and gentlemen, let's drop back for just a moment. One of the things in dealing with the Bible, I have in my hand online news this morning from Jay Sekulow, the American, he's the counselor for the Civil Liberties Justice. And in that, he says this, as our kids and grandkids prepare to head back to school across the country, their religious liberty is a continual focus of ACLJ. American Center for Law and Justice. Recently, and this is Jay Sekulow, recently when a school principal confiscated the Bible of a young fourth grader and told him he could not read it during recess or meet with other Christians, we stepped in. The article further says, whether it is prayer and Bible clubs in school or student Bibles being confiscated, ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, is there. I'm thankful for Jay Sekulow for what he's doing in that realm. But can you imagine your child going to school and the Bible being confiscated and other kids watching that, and they determine, well, I'm not going to bring a Bible. I don't have a Bible anyway, so why should I worry about a Bible? I'm not going to be demeaned and confronted in school because I've got my Bible. It's causing even Christian students. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tuck this in as a little parenthetical footnote for this dialogue. If you have your child in a public school, a governmentally controlled school, pull him out. Stop your work. Stay at home. Teach that child. You say, well, I'm not a teacher. A person that has no credentials, a mom with no credentials, can teach that son or daughter more academically and more spiritually than you'll ever find in any public school, governmentally controlled school in America today. And I've said many, many times now for the past 50 years, I'd rather see a son or daughter grow up and be an academic nitwit, but love Jesus and have power in his life because of a relationship to God through Jesus Christ than have all of the PhDs and all the credentials that the world has to offer from the socialist school system that's in America today. But these kids growing up watching these video games and watching the murders. These kids now, as adults, have no sensitivity. They have no value of life. They do not recognize anything that would be called a value to life. All they see is death. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. It's not guns or mental illness. The problem is much deeper than that. Time will not allow me to read this five-page article to you, but I'm going to read some highlights because it gets to the point. In reaction to the horrific mass shootings in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas this weekend, many people on both sides have engaged in the same game of slogan shouting and cliche spewing and always follow these kinds of things. On one side says guns are the problem. The other retorts to the mental illness as the real culprit. Both agree the extremist ideologies are particularly blamed, but they disagree on the extremist ideology and that's most to blame. Round and round we go. Nothing is accomplished. Nothing changes. Nothing is done. And lost in the fog of the talking points is the hard reality of these tragedies, the fact that the actual real people are dying. And this article goes on to say, ladies and gentlemen, and time won't allow us to go back to it, but it talks about the fact that drugs and the video games are the key elements, just as I've said. Drugs and the video games. The harsh reality is, ladies and gentlemen, with these video games and a drug-soaked mind, these kids want to go out and act out what they've seen on the video games, and they go out and start shooting just as they've done by pulling the trigger on the robot video game that they're watching by way of their handheld device, and they go out and carry out that horrific crime of committing murder. We're now at an all-time low, spiritually speaking, in our nation. Church attendance across our denominations are down. Churches are closing. Families focus on work, pleasure, the pursuit of wealth rather than on the pursuit of God. And as a result of that, we're finding today these kids growing up vacuous and void of anything that's called spiritual death. Let me just run down a little recap list for our closing today, ladies and gentlemen. What's causing these shootings? Fatherless homes. Free accessibility to drugs, no moral teachings in the homes or school, vile, vicious, dark, dangerous videos that they're watching, no Bible being taught. God has been left out of their thinking. No discipline at home or the school. Laws are should be there to dissuade and to discourage that is being left out. Out of wedlock births, increase of juvenile crimes, and one writer suggests that I am prone to agree that we are watching God's judgment upon a nation that has banned God. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's the case. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you again, once again, as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.